The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the theme today is loving kindness. So I was wondering what I would talk about today, quite a bit the last few days, because I went to New York on Tuesday night for a three-day conference of some 220 or something Buddhist teachers from across mostly North America, but some came from Europe and other places, of the different Buddhist traditions. Every 5-6 years or something, there's a kind of a Maha Sangha meeting of some of the senior Buddhist teachers, the different Buddhist traditions to meet. It's quite something. And I was kind of waiting and saying, what, you know, something juicy to happen that maybe could be a subject for a talk. So, you know, when you're a Dharma teacher like me, you're kind of often looking for something. And then yesterday I thought that one of the salient features of the conference was not what was talked about, but rather was the love that was there. And I thought I would talk about that a little bit. And then I remembered that I was supposed to talk about love anyway, because I'm supposed to do the finish up the series of talks on the 10 perfections. And it happens to be the 9th perfection, which was supposed to be today, is loving kindness. So that was convenient. So I thought probably it'll be loving kindness over today and next week, because what we're going to do here. And so what have you learned about love? So one of the things that I've learned is that, at least for me, that there's a big difference between whether I think about someone in the abstract because they're far away, don't see them, and for when I'm actually in their presence. And this is particularly significant for me if I have some little irritation or annoyance or some little feeling of, or a big feeling, you know, of kind of like, you know, sense of being separated from them or angry or something. And then when I'm in the presence of someone, the concepts and ideas I'm operating with seem to pale in significance for the direct humanity of being in touch with someone, in contact with someone. And I often find that some of the ideas I'm holding or holding against people are very hard to sustain when I'm actually in contact with them. So I've made it a practice or a policy kind of, that if I have some issue or some holding some feelings against someone, anger or something, that I always try to go find them so I can be in their presence, be with them and see what happens in that, you know, rather than keeping it in the abstract, because in the abstract sometimes my thinking is not always so accurate. You know, I'm kind of get into my thoughts about the person or the idea or the event rather than something that's much more immediate. So this is one of the things that happened for me in this conference. It wasn't that I was angry or annoyed or irritated with anyone, but it was interesting that we had the teachers from all the different major Buddhist traditions there. And I don't have much contact with some of the other Buddhist traditions. And so since the longer that I'm kind of not in touch with them, the more I kind of have these little ideas about, oh, those people, them. You know, there's us, whatever that is, and there's them, whatever that is. And it became very clear that in this conference, there was no them. We were all in it together, and we did a beautiful exercise. A diversity exercise, kind of classic diversity exercise of, you have people all on one side of the room, And then it's when categories are mentioned. If you fit that category, you go to the other side of the room. Like if you all, you know, women, and then all the women look back at the men, or all men, they take turn, all men, they look back. And so a lot of the questions were tailor-made for this group of Buddhist teachers. And so it was quite something. It took quite a while to have all these teachers, you know, stand there, and they walked across and looked. And there were a number of, you know, very touching things that happened, that some of them had to do with some of the big challenges that individuals, teachers have had over the years, or communities have had over the years, and some of the difficulties between communities came, you know, clear. And there were tears, and there were laughter, and there was all kinds of things that happened. There were some very poignant moments. We got to see how common the commonality of all of us in many ways. We got to see what separates us as people. And in the process of doing that, the exercise, the idea of being separated by traditions, the idea that somehow the traditions were, you know, that you're this kind of Buddhist and that kind of Buddhist, just dissolved. And the feeling I had was, you know, all you could do is love everybody. When you have that kind of contact, see people in that kind of way. So the idea of contact and seeing people and letting the concepts and some of the ideas fall away is very important. And so the context, a little bit of today, of the talking about loving kindness, is that of the paramitas. And paramitas are these 10 qualities that virtues that Buddhism celebrates as being important for practice. And it's easy, I think, for some people to see, when you get a list of kind of virtues, to take them as obligations. You're supposed to be this way. And one of the really great things about Buddhism, if you really kind of delve in into what the Buddha was teaching, there's no obligation here whatsoever. Buddhism, it doesn't have an authoritative figure like a creator god or some higher being or something that's telling you what you should do or supposed to do or have to do or laying down the law for us. Buddhism is completely a voluntary thing, non-obligatory thing. But where the obligation comes from, if there is such a thing, is not from Buddhism, but rather from the movements, the initiatives that come out of your own heart or come out from within. And sometimes we do a kind of violence to ourselves if we don't allow what's within to come forth. Now, for example, if I could succeed here to tell a really hilarious joke, and I couldn't think of one, so that, you know, I wish I could. And it was really, you know, over the top hilarious. And you refuse to let the anger out. You're not, you know, you're a serious Buddhist. And there were a couple of those types at the conference who were the serious Buddhist types. And you could see them kind of, you know, they kept their eyes closed and, you know. And it wasn't sustainable by the end of the conference. They had these big open smiles and eyes, and there was really something to see. And so you do kind of violence, you know, there's this impulse to laugh that in the inside that wants to come out. And it isn't that every impulse inside that wants to come out should be let out, because that's kind of naive. I mean, you have the impulse to punch someone out, you know, or just sleep with your neighbor's spouse. You know, there's a lot of impulses in there, right? So it isn't to give freedom to all of it. But to discover those impulses that arise in the context of freedom, to arise in the context where there's not the compulsion to act on greed or hate, delusion or fear, but rather to operate under kind of the absence of those things. And when those things, when there's the absence of those, what Buddhism often calls defilements or limitations we have, when the heart is closed in some way, that what bubbles up inside, if we don't act on it, there is a kind of violence. Kind of, it takes effort, or it kind of takes effort to clamp down or hold down what's flowing. And so the 10 paramitas are these virtues that liberate a free heart will, at times, will come forth out of that. And it's beautiful to make space for that and allow it to happen. The 9th of these qualities is loving kindness, which can be seen as flowing out of, or being supported out of, the first 8. So the degree to which we have generosity, generosity, you know, connects us to people in a way that allows our kindness and care for others to flow. Our integrity, ethical integrity also helps support love in a beautiful way. And there's an impulse that rises inside for integrity, and so forth, the other ones. And so the assumption is that everyone has some capacity, sometimes long forgotten, sometimes very sadly squashed or numbed out or made frightened or fearful for us. But everyone has a capacity for love. Some people have been burned by it. Some people have been supported by it. And to some degree or other, people don't get through life without some relationship to love. And they've learned something about love. Sometimes they've learned how difficult it is. And sometimes they've learned different lessons. I gave you one of my lessons today about how, you know, it's so important to be in touch with, in contact with people, especially when I feel some difficulty with them. And I make an effort to do that. So what I'd like to do with all of you, if you're willing, is to, it's a lot of people here, but I would like you to, in a few minutes after some instructions, to form little groups of 4 people and share your thoughts around these questions that I offered you. And now I realize that some of you are new, you're meditating, you went into some very deep, infinite samadhi, and it's hard to come out. Or perhaps, quite seriously, you're here because this is a refuge, some difficulty you're having in your life, and this was a refuge, and you really wanted a place to be quiet and not have to engage. And so there's many reasons why you might feel like you don't want to do this. Of course, you can leave. You can always leave IMC. But I like to recommend that you stay, and there's 2 ways. If you don't want to do this, 2 ways you can stay. One is you can stay quietly, just stay where you are, not join a group. But the other way is you can join a group, which is my preference, and if you really don't want to say anything, just let people know there. Introduce yourself so everyone knows each other. But say, you know, you don't say why, but say, you know, this is actually not a time for you to want to share, but you're going to be there as a witness and be part that way. Then maybe something will inspire you to speak as you hear. So I'm hoping this is okay for all of you. The other request I have, there's a lot of people here. And so when you do this, if you could somehow huddle close and see if you can speak with as quiet a voice as you can get away with. Get away with means that your group can hear, so that it keeps it a little bit. Otherwise, it's, you know, if everybody speaks at a normal voice, it's going to be like a cocktail party. So what I'd like to ask of you is to have your group of 4 and to go, just decide one person to start, and then go around the circle. And each person offers something relatively simple. So it shouldn't be a long story about, you know, something you experienced. It could be a very brief story, but, you know, maybe at the most, you know, a minute or something, where each of you answers the 3 questions, you know, or responds to it in some way, maybe out of what happened in the meditation or now. And then once you've gone around the 3 questions in a circle, then you can have more of an open discussion about these questions or whatever came up out of it. And this is not the time to offer anybody any advice. I liked what you learned about love, but I think you need to consider this. And no rhetorical, you know, no kind of like imply, you know, you're not teaching. Like, I'm not going to give you advice, but, you know. But, so we'll do this for about, I don't know how long, I'll kind of track the energy in the room, but probably for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll come back, and for a little bit more, I'll say a little bit more. And so if you could, yes, please. Oh, the 3 questions, okay. So the three questions are, over your lifetime, what have you learned about love? It could be a really simple thing, like, you know, it doesn't have to be like the greatest philosophical lesson in love you've ever had, but it could be some simple lesson that you've had about love. So that's the first. What lessons have you learned from your life about love? The second is, what are the benefits of love? And the third, what are the problems or the challenges or the difficulties of love? And these are meant to be, you know, somewhat vague questions, so each of you could, there's no right or wrong answers in this era, there's no wrong answers. It's just interesting to see what bubbles up in each of you, and they're meant to be a little bit vague, so there's a wide range of possibilities of what might come out. Is this okay? So why don't you, as quietly as you can, form your group. So thank you all very much for participating in that. I hope it was nice for you. Certainly was nice for me to see, to feel the room and also just to, I didn't hear any of the conversations, but just to know that there were over 100 people focused on talking about love. I mean, how often does that happen? And that's pretty, I think, pretty cool. If one of the important emphases of Buddhism is to take our capacity for love, our ability to love, and both develop it and to purify it, and not to deny it. And so to take the beautiful kind of sense of caring or kindness or friendliness that we might have for some people, and not to let go of it, but to universalize it, to take and expand it outwards so that it's not partial, it's not limited, but take what's possible in a few easy domains of our life, perhaps, and expand it out so it includes everyone. If a human being is like a building, some buildings, the windows are locked, the shades are drawn, and the doors are locked. Some buildings don't even have windows. We drove by a big department store in New York. It's huge. And I was just struck by how there were no windows from the outside. Like Macy's, right? And so some buildings have no windows and some are locked. Some of the windows are closed and the blinds are drawn, but maybe the front door is unlocked and open. It's very controlled who comes in and out. Some have open windows to the neighbors on one side, but there's no windows to the neighbors the other side, or the windows are locked, or things are closed in the other direction. Some, the back door and the front door are wide open. When I was, many years ago, I was in the Amazon, and I remember this beautiful building that was kind of a community building for the community there, and it had no walls at all. It had, you know, posts, a big post on the outside, and then it had a roof, mostly just to keep the rain off, I guess. But it was completely open, and people could come in and out freely and openly. I've had people tell me they grew up in a household where the doors were always open, and all the neighborhood kids came in and out quite freely without, just that they felt it was their home almost. They just would come and go, and parents always had snacks there, and neighbor kids would be there for hours, and so quite open. And then people who keep everything closed. So human beings like that too. We're like a building. So what kind of building are you today or tomorrow? Are you more like the Macy's? No windows. Macy's on a are closed. Locked? Or you have some doors open towards certain neighbors? Do you control carefully who comes into your heart and who comes out? Or is your heart or your life open with no walls at all so things can come and go freely and openly? And I think the idea of loving kindness and developing it in Buddhism, purifying it, is to be like that beautiful community building in the Amazon with no walls at all. Just that everything you can come and go freely and be part of our life. And so it's an important part of Buddhism, so it's good to consider. It's very likely that I'll you know, I haven't covered this topic well yet, so next week I'll do the talk on the perfection of loving kindness, this parami. But this week coming up between now and then, I would encourage you to take those three questions and consider them further, because they're, you know, there's a lot to be unpacked or discovered through those three questions about love. And you might actually go and ask some of your friends or family members or neighbors or total strangers. Yeah. And, you know, ask them what they think about those questions. And you can get away with it a little bit if you say that, you know, your spiritual teacher or gave you this homework. And then, you a little bit more you can get away. So I want to thank you all for participating in that and listening. And thank you for coming into our open doors here.